Part 2. John Montagu's Narrative. 30th December, 1870. I have at last resolved to set down everything I know of the strange and terrible events at Raxford Hall, in the hope of appeasing my conscience, which has never ceased to trouble me. A fitting enough night for such a decision, for it is bitter cold and the wind howls about the house as if it will never cease. I shrink from what I must reveal of my own history, but if anyone is ever to understand why I acted as I did, and why else attempt this, I must not withhold anything of relevance, no matter how painful. I shall feel easier in my mind, I trust, knowing that if the case is ever reopened after I am gone, this account may help uncover the truth about the Raxford mystery. I first met Magnus Raxford in the spring of 1866, my 30th year, in my capacity as a solicitor to his uncle Cornelius, a trust I had inherited from my father. Ours was a small family firm in the town of Aldborough, and I had followed my father as he had followed his. Like every boy growing up in that part of Suffolk, I had heard tales of Raxford Hall, which lies at the heart of Monk's Wood, about 7 miles to the south of Aldborough, as the crow flies, but a good deal farther by road. Old Cornelius Raxford had lived there in complete seclusion for as long as anyone could remember, attended by a handful of servants seemingly chosen for their taciturn qualities, for there appeared to be little else to recommend them, whilst the house slowly decayed around him and the wilderness reclaimed the park. Even poachers avoided the place, for Monk's Wood was said to be haunted by, as one might expect, the ghost of a monk. According to local legend, anyone who saw the apparition would die within the month. Cornelius, besides, was rumoured to keep a pack of dogs so savage they would tear you to pieces if they caught you. Some said that the old miser was guarding an immense hoard of gold and precious stones. Others maintained that he had sold his soul to the devil in exchange for the gift of flight, or the cloak of invisibility, or some such diabolical attribute. Then there was William Brent, the poacher, who used to boast that he could hunt as close as he liked to the hall without arousing the dogs, until the night he saw a malignant face peering down at him from an upstairs window.